Hey everyone, just a few housekeeping things before we go here and get started. First of all, look out for season 3, which is going to be dropping in a couple of weeks. We're going to be going back to our weekly release schedule. Also, please be a little bit forgiving this week. I was very sick whenever we did this recording and I did the editing, so please be gentle and please be understanding, and if you hear anything weird, that's my bad. All right, on with the show.
All right, everybody with a butthole, pay attention here. We've got some awesome news happening here at Spooky U. JP, I just bought this cup.
Yeah, why are you shaking your cup on mic?
It's like kind of off mic, but look, it's spiky and it's green. This is what happens when you ask me to open an episode and I have nothing interesting happening in my life. I want a spiky green cup, guys. Spiky green cup.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, can we just get down to business today,
Al? Let's get down to business. To defeat the Huns. Are you my echo or are we singing together?
I thought we were singing together, but you paused. No, you paused a lot longer than it is in the actual song. Yeah.
Buddy, I'm...
It's to defeat the Huns. You went to defeat.
Don't even. I am so insane. The Huns. Shut the fuck up, JP.
Okay.
Listen, well, everybody, before we start arguing about Donny Osmond singing, I'm Allie.
I'm JP.
We are Spooky You. We love all things spooky, legends, lore, ghosts, true crime. If it's weird, if it's off the fucking rocker.
If you are walking down a cobblestone street in the middle of the night to the sound of harpsichord music, and you hear footsteps in the distance, and a shadowy figure slowly creeps behind a corner. We'll talk about it.
Okay, I wasn't sure what direction you were going to go. Part of me was like, ooh, are we going to turn into a vampire? It had like very vampiric vibe to it. I liked it.
A little bit Victorian London, but yeah, I can see how that can be vampire too. I mean... Well, Dracula, so yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, even if it was vampiric, we'd still talk about it on the podcast because we are Spooky You, and that's what we do.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, can we get down to business now? Don't you fucking do it.
Did they send me daughters when I asked for sons?
Buddy, you got Mulan. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, Mulan's a badass.
Okay, so today, actually, in preparation for season 3, there's an episode coming up where, quite frankly, there's a lot of background information that we got to get into. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce it now and reference it during season 3. But I have a feeling once we announce it, you'll quickly pick up on which one I'm talking about.
I might have an idea. Just an inkling, if you will.
And also, it's very timely, too, because we are celebrating the second year that we all went into lockdown.
JP, I don't know if I call that a celebration.
Well, we're going to celebrate it today because we're going back to 1347 for everyone's favorite plague, the greatest of all hits, the Black Death.
So, do you think when they went into lockdown that they had Tiger King or like their version of Tiger King?
No, they had more of screaming, panicking, and thinking that God was punishing all of them.
I mean, we got Tiger King, so that's about the same thing.
Sure, if you want to think about it that way. Let's travel back and, you know, use your imagination here.
I don't have one.
Okay, well, I can't help you there, Allie. You're working me into a corner here. So... picture back, we're in 1347, and currently the Mongol horde is spreading the glorious news of the Khan by pillaging and raiding every village in sight. Oh my god, this is even more relevant than I realized.
Yeah, JP, I don't, like, you were like, oh hey, this is relevant. No, this is like history repeating itself, okay?
Sort of, but anyway, we're going to focus on a port city in... oh god, Crimea, called Kaffa.
JP.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you regretting all your decisions right now?
There's a lot of things in my life that I've regretted, and this might become one of them, but we're going to continue on.
Should we?
I already wrote the episode. I don't have a backup here.
We could just sing for a half hour. I'm sure people would listen to that.
No, we'd tank our podcast real quick. So the Mongols had surrounded the port city of Kaffa because apparently some people got into a bar fight, and then everyone got pissed off. They called the guards, and it just devolved into a 2-year-long siege. And the problem with the Mongols is that they're really good at things like equestrian, archery, pillaging, but sailing is not one of them. And Kaffa being a port city basically meant that they could just be resupplied from the sea without any interference.
Okay.
As these 2 years are going on, the Mongols were, you know, bringing new troops in. Suddenly, a new group of troops that had come in from the east got very sick, and basically disease started to ravage the camp.
Hold up. Did this start on a boat?
We're getting to that.
Okay. I was about to say, this is getting real close to home here, buddy.
So what happened is, after a while, the Mongols just had to give up because they couldn't keep up the siege with all their soldiers dying, so they decided to leave. But before they left, they decided to give Kaffa the middle finger by taking the dead bodies that had died from disease and proceeded to yeet them over the wall.
No.
Yep.
No. Are you serious?
Yep. As a final FU to Kaffa, they just started catapulting dead corpses over the wall.
JP, no.
I mean, that used to be a thing in warfare, but it was usually dead cattle.
Okay, when you say catapult.
Well, trebuchet.
Oh, they did a trebuchet. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better.
Well, interesting thing, those typical spring catapults that you see in movies, those weren't really that common back in the day because you can't get as much strength with the elastic snap as you could with the actual gravitational force and rotational that you could generate with the trebuchet. So those are more common.
Didn't you try to build a trebuchet in high school?
I actually did, yes.
You did? Did it work?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes, it did. It threw objects about 14 feet.
For some reason, I was thinking it didn't work.
It was not perfect. It had a lot of misfires.
Okay, would it have been able to yeet?
No, it would not have been able to yeet bodies.
Oh, okay.
I tried. Meanwhile, inside the walled city, there were some Genoese traders who decided that having it rain men was not as exciting as some songs would make you believe.
And it's raining men.
Proceeded to nope right out of there.
Fair. That's, you know, even if it was actually raining men, I don't. Like, that would not be exciting to me. I also would nope out of there, too. So that's fair. I get that. Okay, continue.
Obviously, with these diseased bodies coming over, the Mongols initially thought that they were just being petty and causing fear in the population. But what they actually did was bioterrorism.
No.
And when these Genoese traders left, they took the plague with them with fleas that had gotten on the rats from the corpses. But the Genoese traders made a few stops on their way back, like, everywhere. Yeah, you remember how people used to joke with COVID, how the first cases always seemed to be people who were just going all over the place?
Yeah.
Yeah, they accidentally did that.
I'm thinking, yeah.
As you can imagine, when the plague hit, it hit hard, especially on the densely populated areas in Italy. And we're going to particularly focus in on one town of Venice.
So again, hitting pretty close to home. History repeating itself.
More like an echo.
Italy was hit pretty hard during COVID.
This is more of an echo. I wouldn't say it's an exact repeat.
No, not an exact repeat. I would agree with you and say an echo. But like, it's just... it's oddly similar how it's happened before.
Diseases tend to work the same way. They break out, people, before they realize what's going on, it's starting to spread. And everywhere that's densely populated, where people are constantly shoulder to shoulder, tend to get hit very hard. Yeah.
So can I tell you, I have been listening to this podcast called Ologies. I'm sure you've heard of it. For anyone who hasn't listened to it, it's amazing. Allie Ward, she interviews scientists in different ologies, but she interviewed two epidemiologists in 2018. And I listened to that episode, and hearing them talk about what could cause a pandemic was like, holy shit. But JP, it's exactly what you're saying, that people don't realize they have the disease, don't realize they have the symptoms, and then they travel, and that's what spreads it. And that's how we get a pandemic. So it just food for thought. Like, go listen to the epidemiologist episode of Ologies, but like, it, what you're talking about, it spells it out in a scientific way. And it was just fascinating. Okay, continue. Sorry.
So back then, they really didn't have any good way to treat these things. So it was, you know, they subscribed to Galen's four humors idea. And basically, if you got it, you were kind of screwed. And this is how it looked. So approximately 2 to 7 days after being infected, people would develop chills, high fever, muscle cramps, also swollen lymph nodes that would become necrotic, black spots all over the body, complete agonizing pain and muscle ache, decaying tissue, and eventually death.
So they're like, you got it, and that was it.
You were completely screwed.
That there was no...
No, the only way was if you just somehow happened to be naturally immune to it or asymptomatic. And we'll get into that in a second because there's a really cool thing. Now, focusing again on Venice, this was a major trading hub. And because it was just a densely populated city on a lagoon, there really was nowhere for anyone to go. In fact, there was a famous thing I read from the Doge at the time where he basically threatened that if people fled the city, they would lose all of their holdings and possessions in Venice.
Oh, okay. That's, I mean, that's a way to get people to stay put.
Yeah. Also because, you know, you need people in the city for the city to survive. And this was the capital of a small republic at the time. So having people run is not great for your business, which still had to keep going on.
Interesting.
Despite the fact that germ theory is another 400 years out, they still realized that having a bunch of dead bodies around was not a good idea. So in Venice, they decided to start shipping the bodies off to islands surrounding Lagoon. One of the most famous is Lazaretto. And this is actually a current museum today and would serve as a hospital later on. In addition, they also tightened security to reduce panic, more guards in the street, stay-at-home orders.
And dealing with pandemics.
Yeah, so it's kind of the first time you're starting to see organized government responses to viruses. And because the Black Death is so well recorded, we have a lot more evidence of that compared to like the Justinian Plague or the one in Athens.
Oh, okay.
This particular Black Death would last from 1347 to 1351 and basically stopped because, well, there was no one left to catch it.
Herd immunity?
More like you can't spread a virus when there's no one alive to spread it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. That's fair. Okay.
Yeah, remember, this killed like a third of the Europe population.
Did it? Never mind.
However, it wasn't done.
Oh, of course not.
It came back like every 20 years.
Well, didn't it come back recently too? Or like one person got a case of it or something?
There is actually a regular occurrence of people who do get plague. And in fact, bubonic plague can be found in the American West.
Oh, good.
But these days, we have effective treatment measures for it, so it's not like this. It's just somebody goes in the hospital and the doctor says, hey, congratulations, you just caught the Black Death. And then makes a joke about something and then, but seriously, we're going to treat you and you'll be on your way soon enough.
Sorry, that was me laughing.
There'd be pretty much an on average 20-year cycle that the plague would reoccur in Europe, each time popping up in a different city. But as time went on, Europe and the world became better prepared and better at combating these things. For example, in Venice, they took the initiative and converted several islands like the Lazaretto to house ships that were coming in from infected areas to make sure that no one coming in was infected.
Oh, that's good.
And they would do this by having them stay on the island for 40 days. So if you ever complain about your 2-week isolation, there you go.
I think it's like down to 5 days now.
Yeah. But Ali, do you know what 40 days in Italian, what that translates to?
Lent.
No.
T- Tell me I'm wrong, though.
You're wrong.
It's Lent, dude. It's fucking Lent.
40 days?
Yeah.
No, it's called a quarantino.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's where we get the term quarantine, is from Venice's 40-day isolation period before entering the city.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It makes, okay, it makes, now that I'm thinking about, like, the root word, like, quad, okay, that makes sense. Quarantino. We're butchering that, by the way.
Allie, no one should be surprised that I'm butchering anything on this podcast.
That's correct. Yeah, we butcher everything. But, like, really? It's yeah. That, like, I can't. You've told me some things tonight, like you've already talked about eating bodies over a wall and, you know, the symptoms of the Black Death. But for some reason, quarantino is stumping me. Okay, it's fine. Continue. I don't know.
The most famous of these Lazaretto islands where these quarantines would happen, Lazaretto Vecchio, was built in 1423 and served as an early hospital to isolate and attempt to treat those infected with plague. But obviously, if you were getting sent there, it pretty much was a death sentence because there was nothing you could do about the plague once you got it.
So then what about the doctors and the nurses?
We'll get to the doctors in a second.
Okay.
In fact, later excavations would actually find burial pits filled with thousands of remains from different eras of quarantines and plague outbreaks there. Now, these efforts were combined with strict, again, stay-at-home orders. And yeah, they really were able to better manage the plague as it came back in subsequent years. And this lasted pretty much up until the 17th century.
Okay.
And one of those
That's a long time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to think, again, there wasn't epidemiology really didn't come into its own until the 19th century. So
I would say it didn't really come into its own until they were on ologies and talked about it in 2018.
Well, actually, the first JP,
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm joking with you.
Well, there was the famous Jon Snow and the Broad Street Pump incident in, I think it was like the mid-19th century in London that, we'll have to talk about that one day. That's a good story.
Hey, I'm open to any story. Tell me.
Okay, so one of the most famous icons of the plague is the plague doctor. You know, the famous...
Yeah, no one can see what I'm doing right now, but I'm like making I don't know what I'm doing. You know what, JP? It's fine. Just keep going.
Yeah, the big hat, big overcoat, beat with the glass eyes. Yeah, that the plague doctor.
Yeah.
Now, interesting thing that I actually discovered was that costume or that clothing was invented by a man named Charles Delorme in the 17th century.
Okay.
300 years after what we call the Black Death.
So the plague doctor, I'm just going to call it an outfit because I can't think of a better word for it, but the outfit that we know was not directly associated with the bubonic plague.
Not the initial one that we think about in 1347, but this was 300 years after, and the first ones looked a little less Edgar Allan Poe masquerade party-esque and a little bit more like the dirt bird.
The dirt bird?
Like a derpy bird.
Oh, derp bird. I was like, dirt bird. It was a dirty bird. Okay, that makes more sense. All right. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, again, a lot of times doctors, again, weren't fully trained. Some of the people who were in these masks were just, I mean, the people who worked around the plagues tended to be poorer, who just needed the money or couldn't afford. So they ended up having to be the ones who had to help ship and carry the bodies out.
Oh, geez.
The concept around the plague doctor outfit was, this was kind of a little bit more when the miasma concept, where it's bad air, which is how diseases spread. So the idea of having the beak was that they would fill that with lavender or some other kind of good smelling material to help ward off the bad air.
Like herbs and stuff.
Yeah, so it wasn't exactly, obviously they were off the mark, but it was an effort. And there were some versions where the coat was wax coated and it unknowingly became a surprisingly effective biosuit.
Did they think that like the virus was going to stick to it or something?
I can't remember the exact reasoning why they thought of that. It was a slightly
interesting
small version that some people did, but it didn't last overly long. Just I found a footnote about it. And yeah, and obviously okay, they didn't know how to be effective because, you know, they were using a more not accurate theory. So in summary,
while the Black Death was really devastating for the world, it did also have some benefits in how it changed society and how we view workers and cultures and economies moving forward, which we'll get into at some point later on. But also, this was kind of an interesting viewpoint into what would become how we fight and combat diseases. And I do like to give a little bit credit too, because I feel like everyone looks at the Black Death and thinks, oh, you know, they were so backwards and they were thinking it was the wrath of God. And then I'm like, no, they were smart. They realized like, oh, Fred touched Jeremy, who was sick with the plague, then he got the plague. So don't touch a body with the plague or don't go near someone.
They learned as they went along.
Yes. And I think that's a better picture and story to say than just mocking them and criticizing them, because, you know, they were working with what they had. It's like, it would be like laughing at a 6-year-old who doesn't know how to do integration or a calculus because, well, they just haven't gotten to that point yet.
So it would also be like making fun of a 30-year-old who doesn't know how to do integration.
Well, calculus. You just chose not to do that. Oh, boy. Okay. So, yeah, that's basically all I have. And that's just some context that will help with one of the later episodes that we've got coming up.
Yes, it's going to be a good one. Can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
There's going to be some ice picks.
Yeah.
There's going to be plague doctors.
Oh, no.
There's going to be maybe some reiteration of corpse eating.
And there's definitely going to be some Zach Bagans.
Jesus fucking Christ.
What's worse, JP? The ice picks, the corpse eating, or
Zach Bagans?
Zach Bagans. Just immediately Zach Bagans.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of that whole style of going into these kinds of places, but we can talk about that more later on.
No, so the funniest part about it, though, because I agree with you, there's definitely a level where you want to be respectful, and they were not at the beginning. They've gotten more, and that's because they've learned the hard way. But it's just the way that he talks, the Ed Hardiness of him, just like, I'm Zach Bagans, and I never believed in ghosts until I saw one.
I know, like, I know. Yeah.
Buddy, well, chill.
We're coming up on time for this week, so you got anything that you want to make sure we plug before we go?
Oh, I want to make sure that everybody takes a wild guess as to what the episode we are referring to is going to be. So when we release this on Tuesday, when you listen to this on Tuesday, because Tuesday is our day, I'm reminding myself, guess. Give us a guess. What do you think this episode is going to be? So you can email us at spookyupodcast@gmail.com, or you can comment on the picture and say, hey, I think it's going to be this. And comment on our Instagram at SpookyUPodcast. And that's it. That's all I got. That's all she wrote. Actually, that's all she said. Because this is a podcast. And not a diary.
The most stable state of the world is chaos. Class dismissed.